I'm Hillary.
And I'm Sandra. Coming up on the Quick and the Dirty podcast, we're going to talk to an older man who is dating a younger woman.
Oh, that never happened, Sandra.
Kevin is 46 and his girlfriend is 27. So, of course, we're like, could you be a little more cliche? But he says it's actually not as simple as you might think.
We're going to find out the whole story coming up.
The Quick and the Dirty podcast with Hillary Welch and Sandra Plagakis.
Can we just file this under poor timing? Because Hillary, you are actually moving in the middle of a pandemic this weekend.
Yeah, our house closes this week and we have to have all of our belongings moved into our new house.
When you told me that you bought a house way back in the day, like months ago, I was like, yay. And then, you know, 2 weeks later, there's a pandemic and they shut everything down and we're like, boo. You were scared. You were like actually scared about this whole thing.
Well, it's super scary because luckily moving is considered an essential service, so it's not too backed up. But there are some other little hitches along the way. Like, we had to sign our legal documents in a Zoom meeting.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was really weird. Everything with the lawyer is all documents signed online. When we have to hand off our keys, it feels like a drug deal. Like, it's like, I got this stuff.
But, you know, for because as I've been driving around and the weather's been getting warmer, I keep seeing movers, like legit movers, and people are moving because life goes on. And I'm thinking, what is it like now if you are, and as we all are, paranoid about people's germs? Are you, like, freaked out about the cooties?
Oh, I'm totally freaked out about the cooties, but we're actually lucky. I feel like I'm six, honestly. The cooties are terrifying. We're actually kind of lucky. So we have a truck. It's like a truck that we know, and we're actually having friends of ours help us, but in a socially distanced way. So we have like a schedule of who can come over when. We have 3 days to move all of our belongings. So we're doing like totes the first day with one friend, and then whatever the next day with other friends. So it should be okay. But I'm still ooh about the cooties. Like, I am German paranoid clean on a regular day. Like, I'm the kind of person that under stress, I clean the grout in my shower with a toothbrush and bleach. So moving into like somebody else's cootie house is really freaking me out.
So a new house. Okay. That's freaky. And then like your friends also have cooties. I mean, even though there could be strangers moving your stuff, do you know where all your friends have been? Not to, you know, I'm not trying to call out your friends, but you don't know where they've been.
Well, you're not moving me, so I don't have that much to worry about.
Touché.
It's just, I don't know. There's something about known cooties over strange cooties. Like, I mean,
that's right. It's a trusted source. I know that you, yeah, that's right. I mean, I have friends that I would trust, like my best friend, Deb. I trust that she has done her due diligence. She's social distance. And she's so if anything were to happen, I would trust her cooties over like Kevin at the grocery store. Hells no. I don't know where those dirty little mitts have been. So I got you, right? I got it.
The other thing is there are certain items that I will not keep used. Like, I have already bought 2 toilet seats. I don't use other people's toilet seats.
Oh, that's so smart. So when you move into a new house, you actually replace all the seats?
Oh, yeah. Toilet seats are new because you never know where someone else's pee is hiding.
And, you know, as the mother of boys, hear, hear. Because I'm the toilet bowl cleaner, and I'm always like, how are you living in that dirty spot? How long have you been there? Yeah, smart. That's genius when you think about it.
Yeah, so new toilet seats are the first thing that happen, and then I think everything else is going to be okay. But ooh, cooties. Like, I am going to basically show up in a hazmat suit.
Good. Atta girl. Godspeed, my love. His name is Kevin. He is 46 years old, and he is in a relationship with a soon-to-be 27-year-old woman named Jenna. So, Kevin, welcome to the Quick and the Dirty podcast.
Thank you so much. It's an honor to be on with you guys. I've listened to you, I think, since almost your beginning.
And
it's been so fun. You guys are fantastic. So it's It really is an honor to be on with you guys.
Well, Kevin, thanks so much for joining us and being willing to open up about your relationship. I think most people have an idea or maybe a preconception of why men go for younger women. But it's going to be so interesting to talk about your story and maybe the reasonings behind your relationship.
Well, I certainly can't speak for all men in general. And speaking for myself, it was sort of an odd situation because I was one of those people, and I'm going to admit I kind of still am, one of those people that has preconceived notions on older men and younger women. And I found it quite cliched. I thought, there were underlying issues, just a lot of different things that I was one of those people, absolutely, that had those judgments. And then going through this over, it's been nearly 4 years now, I can admittedly again say that I still have many of those judgments, but I'm learning to base it on the character of the two people. I'm taking a different approach or look at the people that are in the relationship. Not that I'm getting to know them, but when we observe someone like Donald Trump and his penchant for younger women, and then we observe people like I'm totally forgetting her name now, but the American Idol girl who's married someone quite older than her.
Catherine McPhee and David Foster.
Right. Yeah.
Yes, and that's right. That's the other. Oh, wow. That is something, isn't it? I think they have like 50 years apart, those two.
Yeah, there's quite a bit. Yeah. So, I was one of the people, and again, in many ways, still am, that has some of those preconceived notions, kind of the cliche issues as well, but I'm working on that. I can only admit my biases and, but being in this relationship has certainly changed my perspective and understanding of relationships, of love, of compassion, of psychology.
So you said that you've been in this relationship for 4 years, so that would have made you 42 and her 22.
We are coming up on 4 years. So she had just turned 23, and I was 42 at the time.
42.
So, we're halfway between 19 and 20 years, sort of thing.
Okay, so be honest with us, Kevin. What was the first thing that drew you to Jenna?
Her smile and her nose. I'll explain the situation under which we met. And I know it's an odd thing to say, her smile and her nose, it's very strange, but there is a context behind it. And this is where, the cliche, this is an absolute cliche for your audience. You'll love it. I was a professor, I still am, and Jenna was a student. Now, when I am teaching, I am in teacher mode. I'm a very, I get nervous when I'm teaching, and whether it's lecturing in front of a classroom or if I'm helping students do their work. So I have to act into my confidence and reassurance for the class. So I don't pick up on hints. I don't pick up on chemistry. I just got to get through this few hours. So this was a class where Jenna was in, and I noticed, she was calling me over quite a bit to help, and when I was over helping her, and I'm often, it's the kind of work where we're looking at a computer, we're solving problems. And I just started noticing. I was like, this person has just such a pleasant, gentle energy, you know? And there was a peace about her where I simply enjoyed being near her. And that's not unlike many students, many people.
Well, of course not. But Kevin, you know, again, that's how most attractions start. You know, I mean, that's how most relationships start. You felt that initial attraction. But she was your student. Wow, Kevin. Mm-hmm. Not only are you robbing the cradle.
Robbing the school.
But yeah, absolutely. Now, are there any policies in your school about dating students?
Yes, absolutely. So,
and that's where... This story just got better.
Well, that's where we, you know, there aren't policies like, well, it's frowned upon, or you really shouldn't, but, you know, we're all adults. No, there's absolute policies. Do not date the students, whether they're in your program or not. If they go to the school and you teach at the school, do not date them. And that's, I know those policies, and the students know those policies for the most part. Not all of them know that, and not all of them adhere to it. So there was, you know, you can't be around people and you can't control the chemicals in your brain, and, you know, we just have to control our behavior, of course. So I just noticed Jenna. That's really what it was. I noticed her. I enjoyed her as a student. She was a fantastic student and very pleasant. So that was it. And, you know, there's always that. I imagine every teacher would be able to say that. The school year ended, Jenna graduated, and then she reached out and asked if I would be interested in going for a drink.
So, she wasn't your student no more.
Right. She had graduated. She did know what school policies were, and she had previously been in university previous to this as well. So, she was very mature about it and very professional. However, she also acted. She took that step. When I heard from her, I was, you know, flattered, very flattered, and kind of excited. I had been, here comes cliche number two, I had been divorced for a year.
Oh my God, midlife crisis. I'm going to write that down too.
I know.
You're hitting every single cliche, Kevin. Oh my God.
Well,
and
I mean,
you know what? I'm totally
joking with you.
You do. But, you know, I don't want you to misunderstand my humor for judgment. I'm not coming at it from a judgmental place at all. I encourage you to tell your story. But, man, we really are hitting the cliches hard today, aren't we?
Oh, yeah. That's why I reached out to you guys, because I thought, yeah, I've kind of got both sides of the story here.
Right. But, you know, it's true that there's so many married men, especially men that I knew from, you know, socializing with my kids and, you know, dads of kids my children play with that I follow on Instagram and Facebook, that are now parading around all their new younger girlfriends. And every time I see that, I'm like, oh, somebody just had a midlife crisis. I mean, we tend to be snarky about these things and not really give these relationships any validation whatsoever, because we discount them as a midlife crisis. Right.
Yeah. And
did you feel that's how your relationship was being received?
Well, once we met up for drinks, we thought, we each kind of secretly thought, oh, this will be, an interesting 2 weeks, and then life moves on. I had not dated since my divorce, and we simply hit it off. We're both very, down-to-earth professional people, and we hit it off. So, you know, 2 weeks turned into 2 months, and away we went. And as we were going through this, it took me a while to tell my family. I told my family 6 months into it, because I was afraid of that judgment. And I may have also been afraid of hearing something that would have changed my mind. I would have been like, yeah, you're right. I'm out. Because I was enjoying myself.
Were you ever worried that it would get back to the school that you were dating a former student and there would be a question that maybe there was some impropriety?
I wasn't, because I knew it would get back to the my colleagues, only because of the relationship in her class. It was a very tight group, a tight program, and you know, there was no way to contain what was going on. So I didn't have those concerns because I knew that she and I acted in accordance with policy. We were both mature and professional about it. There was no flirting in class. There was none of that. I'm proud to say that I was professional and I represented the school and myself correctly. So,
okay. Without getting into all of the details, Kevin, about the intricacies of the relationship, I'm really more interested in, again, the way your family and friends perceived you and perceived the relationship. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah. Well, when I told my mom and dad, I went to their place and I just said, you know, I've met someone. And I said 6 months ago, and I just said she's 20 years younger than me. And I think there was an awkward pause. And then, you know, it goes from awkward pause to them both speaking at once. Well, you know, they pointed out that they have friends that are in a relationship 15 years apart, and that they've been married for a very long time, very happy. It almost felt maybe they were trying to justify it to themselves in front of me, trying to make me feel okay with it, trying to make themselves feel okay with it. And, you know, understandably, they had their concerns. When Jenna told her family, it was during a dinner out, she started crying when she told them, out of the fear of what they would think. Her father's first question was, is he older than me? So, you know,
are you?
No, I'm not. No, he is.
But you're closer to dad's age than you are to hers.
Yeah, no, I am closer to her parents' age. Yeah. So they had their concerns. Absolutely. And I would honestly be concerned if they didn't. I think if her family was not concerned and not really looking out for her in this, that to me would be kind of a red flag. So they did. Her younger sister, who at the time was 18, just thought it was icky and I was gross, and she never wanted to meet me, have anything to do with me. And at one point, I told Jen, I just said, in this situation, what it's doing to your family, I gotta step out. And she talked to her family, and they were upset for her that I was considering that. So
let me ask, you've been together for 4 years, and I'm assuming now that you're obviously committed to each other for the long term.
Well, yes. we're committed. We don't know. We don't know what the long term is yet, right? We're taking that, you know, month by month, because we know.
Yeah. So let's talk in a bigger picture now. When she's 50, you're going to be 70. Mm-hmm. What's that going to look like? Because that's what we all think of, right? When we look at older men who
are like, you're hot now, but
you're hot now. But then, sorry, Kevin. let's be honest. You're hot now, but what's going to happen when you're 70? You're going to have a sexy 50-year-old wife or a 50-year-old partner, let's just say. That's when it becomes something of a problem. Could be, possibly.
It could be. We talk about that all the time. We talk about things like that. I'm my physical, mental, and emotional health is very important to me. I take care of my body. And regardless, and so does Jenna, regardless, when we talk about it, we have to understand the challenges that are going to approach in that regard. At the same time, she could be dating someone who's 5 years older than her and has a car accident and he's in a wheelchair for the rest of his life. So we were trying not to go into our relationship drowning it in what if. And we're just going, you know what? We love each other right now. We have a fantastic relationship. It's bringing joy and value to our lives. So let's stick with it here. Let's not invite problems for the future, or let's not live now based on what the future may hold. Obviously, you know, these days there's so much uncertainty. We simply don't know what the future holds. So it's one of those things where we just have to go, you know what, it's working right now. And if someday it's not working, then I guess we face it then. We can't, neither of us wants to stop now for what could go wrong 20, 30, even 5 years down the road.
You are, because you've got such a big age difference, you know, let me just use an example. When I was 20 years old, I dated a guy who was 32. And it was very casual. It wasn't like serious, like your relationship is. But I remember, okay, I was his booty call. Let's just get serious here for a second.
Yeah, you were.
If we're gonna call it what it is. But I remember, like, we started spending time together, and we did stuff together as well. So I became more of a booty call after a while. But at one point, I said, I can't see him anymore, because I used to think to myself, what does a 32-year-old guy want with I knew what a 32-year-old guy wanted with a 20-year-old, but then I noticed that, like, most of his friends were 20. And I thought to myself, oh, this is a guy who can't handle the fact that he's getting older. So he thinks that if he hangs around with young people, he'll be 20 forever. And then I just felt sad. And then I felt sad for him. And I thought, oh, honey, you don't want to date a real woman because you don't want to. Oh my God, Kevin, when I tell this story, please, I'm not relaying this to you, but this is how I felt about the dude that I was dating at the time. And I was like, why can't you date a woman your own age? Why won't you date a woman your own age? You know,
Sandra, right, I can sort of speak to that too, because when I was in my 20s, I dated a guy who was significantly older, who was divorced. And so what he got from me was I didn't have my crap together and he did. So I thought, like, oh man, here's a guy who's got it all together. And he'd just come out of a divorce from a wife who thought he was a piece of shit and he didn't have anything together. So having someone look at him in that way, like he had it going on, was like an ego boost for him.
Oh, yes. So yeah, you're an experienced man. You probably have a lot to offer, intellectually, certainly, maybe sexually too, although that's your own business. You know, but do you know what I mean? Like, when you're with an older dude, a big part of it is that, you know, you learn sexually from older men as well. There's a draw,
right,
in all aspects. Yes.
Yes. However, that, again, I think this is where I'd like to dispel some of the cliches in our regard. One thing I don't feel like I'm doing is walking around with a trophy girl. I admit I'm very self-conscious at times being out with Jenna. She's a beautiful, tall, blonde girl. She is the quintessential beauty. And I'm a good-looking guy, but I have, you know, my hair's going gray, and I look my age. I feel I'm in the prime of my life, in all regards, really. I'm very happy seeing someone in his mid-40s. My friends are all in my age group. Some now are in Jenna's age group, of course. So I don't feel that I'm in any way really trying to regain or hang on to my youth, but I definitely see what you mean. I see that. I see it out there. But the other thing, there's two things about this. I'm actually, I have a penchant for older women. I've always...
In that case, hello, Kevin. I'm sorry, what were you saying?
I always have been very attracted to women, of course, my age, but older. When I was 16, I thought girls in university were just the best. Of course, like every 16-year-old. When I was 36, a woman in her 40s was just like the dream. Being 46 now, I find women in their 50s and even their 60s to be incredibly attractive. And I'm not just talking physical and look. There's so much to that attraction. I am much less overall attracted to women that are under 30, we'll say. And so that's why this has been such an experience for me, because it's quite contradictory to my norms. The other thing is that when you say, why can't you meet someone your age? I was asking myself that during my year after I got divorced and well into my relationship with Jenna. I'm like, why can't I meet someone my own age? Where are they? I'm not an online dater. I don't want to do it. I wouldn't do it well. I don't think I'd enjoy it. I don't have the time. But I realized that where I am is in and amongst, we'll say, these young adults. And this is just one of those things that happened in that regard. I'm at where I spend my life is either in my home office or in classrooms. So it's so difficult to say, you know, what if I had not dated Jenna, who would I be with now? You know, again, the mm-hmm. what if. But I often think, okay, well, if we do break up at some point, how will I meet someone? What am I going to have to do? What comfort zones am I going to have to step out of? Am I going to have to go on meetup walking tours around Niagara or something? Like, things I don't want to do. And what we've in some way equated, because Jenna is, she is quite, I don't like the term old soul, but she is quite mature for her age in the way she lives her life. She's financially independent. She's a very hardworking professional. She's not a out doing the clubs and all that. She's not living the typical, again, I hate to be stereotypical, but not living the typical.
Can I be stereotypical? Does she have daddy issues?
No, she doesn't. I don't.
Because I used to think I had daddy issues when I dated that older
right.
guy. Hillary, did you think you did?
Yeah.
Like,
no,
that's,
her,
I mean.
Her relationship with her dad is very good. There are some tumultuous moments, like all of us have. But she comes from a very solid family. And I did watch for that. And I, with my therapist, even, I was like, you know, what red flags do I have to watch for? And what are you seeing here? And, you know, so far, so good. But we don't know for sure.
So when you talked about meeting Jenna and the things that first drew you to her, if you were to ask her the same thing, what first attracted her to you? What do you think it was?
Oh, she has said, and we have talked about this, she just said I was just so gentle, kind, patient, funny. I mean, she loves my sense of humor. My sense of humor is, it's kind of one of my everythings in life. Without it, I'd just be ruined. So there's a lot of laughter. I think that's what it would be. She's never said, you know, oh my God, you were so hot and I loved watching you teach, and none of that crap. Like, she really really kind of appreciates me for me. And the characteristics that she's noted are ones that I would often hear from friends and family and just, you know, my my personality. Right.
So you guys have been together for 4 years. And this is going to be a difficult question. I'm warning you up front. But you talk about your relationship month to month with a lack of commitment. Why is that?
Well, no, I shouldn't say that. I say we are committed, but we take it. I shouldn't even speak we necessarily. I kind of look at it as though if he came to me in 2 weeks and said, you know what, like I met a guy in downtown Toronto and wow, like I'm sorry. And like, I'm realizing this just isn't a long-term thing. I'd be devastated, but I would totally understand. The other thing is we do talk about our future. We talk about possible marriage. We talk about what may or may not be difficulties in that. But there's a lot of logistics going against us right now. Her career needs to be in the city, really. That's where it happens. Mine, although it happens in the city, I leave the city at the end of the day. I don't want to live there. She doesn't want to raise a family there, but she certainly doesn't want to be driving a car for an hour and a half every morning.
So we right. Okay, Kevin, sorry to interrupt. I have to ask you a question.
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt.
No, you are. Again, don't lie.
I don't want to get it too much into the. I don't want to get into all the minutia of the relationship. And I don't mean again minutia is maybe not the right word, but all the little details. I want to talk about again the big picture stuff specifically. We talk about Donald Trump and a younger woman, a lot, Melania, and other men who are 60s and 70s, and they're dating these women that are 30 years old, 25 years old. What do you think? Why do you think they are dating younger women? And why do you think those younger women are dating those older men? Really, though.
One of the reasons I believe is because they're afraid to be challenged in their own intellect and maturity. I think there's a certain aspect of the ability to have command over a person, over a relationship. When we talk about Donald Trump, I really enjoy analyzing him. In
Me
this
too.
Regard and others, especially in his body language. You know, when he's in a room surrounded by scientists, he crosses his arms. He huddles into himself, right? Because he knows he's surrounded by people far more intelligent than he is. So I think he likes to be in control. And if you're with a strong, professional businesswoman who's just running her show, and taking care of business, and she's not just doting on you and doing as she's told, that he doesn't want to spend his life with his arms crossed sitting at home with her.
It sounds like they still do, though. Well,
oh, yeah.
It's like they don't look like they get along.
Oh, no.
No.
But
Hillary, this sounds like your relationship. You talked about how when you were dating an older guy, you looked at him like, you know.
Yeah, like he could do no wrong. Absolutely.
Yeah,
there
right.
was,
he was the
there
chef.
Was something about that idea that you're going to be taken care of, not financially necessarily, but emotionally and on a, maybe on a physical level, that was maybe the attraction.
Yeah, I think I would understand that. In our case, that's certainly not the case. I get called out several times a day for, you know, like, Jenna won't take any shit from me at all. And not that I'm out there just, you know, doing crap all day, but sometimes I'll speak negatively about a situation and she'll call me on it. And we have a very level relationship. Neither of us dominate the other.
But it sounds like that maybe speaks to your proclivity to older women. Like that's what you're attracted to, is somebody who's a little more in charge of their life. And if she just happens to be younger, but is in charge of her life, that's going to be hot.
That's an excellent point. That is one of the things that I love about her, is that she's doing so well in her career. She's advancing. She's in control of her life financially. She's in control of her emotions. She really is, again, not an old soul, but a mature woman in a younger woman's body. And
Best of both worlds, really.
Really, yeah. And honestly.
I wish I had a younger body. Anyway,
I wish I was in control of my life.
But you know what? She has her dislikes with her body. And as much as I say, you are just absolutely stunning, perfect, I have to understand how she may be seeing herself. So as wonderful as I see her, she's working through her own getting to know herself. I don't understand a lot of the decisions that other men make in this regard and in this situation, but myself, I find a woman who is 55 and a professional and just the confidence and the independence and all of that, I just find it so attractive. I'm not the kind of guy, if I was dating a woman who is making three times as much as me, that I would be turned off by that or feel less than because of that. I think that's so hot. I love that. Women that living their lives.
You sound like you're an evolved guy, is what you sound
like. Yeah, like, and not typical. It's so funny. We're like, let's talk to a guy who dates younger women. And then here you come up and you're like, well, I didn't mean to.
Well, that's one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you guys is because part of me felt bad because I thought, oh, they're hoping they get a guy who's just like, man, like, you got to see her in a short skirt. When I walk her into the bar, everyone looks. I'm not that guy, so I didn't want to disappoint you in that regard, but I did want to represent those of us that, we've got it together, but we're kind of facing our own struggles with this kind of relationship. I'll give you an example. We were in a restaurant, just a fast food restaurant, a few months ago, and an older couple, they're probably in their late 50s, were right in front of us. And the lady turned around and looked, like a lot of people do. You know, they look at her, they look at me, and they're like, what's going on there? But she looked and she came up to Jenna and she said, I just have to say, you have the most beautiful skin. And she said, I would love to have skin like that. And so I said, I tell her the same thing every day. And she said, are you her dad?
Oh, okay. Oh. So that's an awkward moment. But does your ex-wife know about Jenna?
I don't speak with my ex, but I believe she must because for a time she was on my Instagram while I was posting pictures of Jenna. So yeah, there.
So is there like a little part of you is like, that one's not awkward. That's pure pleasure.
Yes.
That a boy.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Let's leave it. Let's end it on that note then, shall we?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. My ex was very into physical fitness and eating well. And because I was medicated, I was not into either. After my divorce, I became very physically fit. I eat like a champ, and it's almost that I wish she could see rather than who I'm dating. But yeah.
Kevin 2.0 is what you wish she could see.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, listen, I'm really glad you came on the podcast. And like you said, no, you aren't the typical dude who dates younger women, not even close to that. But I'm glad you could show us the other side of it, that for you, it's about hearts more than anything else. The heart wants what the heart wants. And we totally get that. So two things. Number one, thank you for being on the podcast. And secondly, thank you for listening to the podcast. We really appreciate it.
Well, thank you, guys. It was such a pleasure to be on with you. And just keep doing what you're doing. I love it.
Thanks so much.
This episode is over, but the conversation doesn't have to be. Follow Hillary and Sandra on social. Instagram at Hillary on air, at SandraKiss1053. Twitter at Hillary Welch, at SandraKiss1053. And on Facebook at Quick and Dirty Podcast. Got a question? Email Hillary and Sandra, thequickandthedirty@gmail.com.
Don't forget, you can download the podcast each week to your mobile device to listen offline. Find The Quick and the Dirty on frequencypodcastnetwork.com, iTunes, or wherever you download your podcasts.